Oh boy, oh boy. This is going to be a hard one. Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. How is everyone coping after what we've just seen in Paris? Recording this shortly after the final whistle in a devastating result for Arsenal. It was... We threw everything at them, right? It's just a real mixture of emotions, and everyone's mileage would vary where they sit on the broad scale of pride and anger and frustration and what could have been. And yes, we did well, and however, we should have done so much more. It's just there's a whole spectrum, and I got to be honest. In the last hour or so since the match has finished, I'm scattered. I think I've met all of the above, and it's really hard to just to process, because there's so much more to there's so much more to talk about than just what we've seen across the 90 minutes. There's what Arsenal did and didn't do in the transfer window that's come back to bite us in so many ways across the league and other competitions. Then there's what the players did on that pitch in Paris tonight or this morning, depending on wherever you are in the world. And I'd like to start there, actually. I think that's just a really good, natural way to start there. Because I must say, I was worried with the way PSG started. They blew us away in the first 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes last week. And questions, quite rightly, need to be asked. Why were we so unprepared? And I know Arteta spoke at length afterwards about we recognised an issue and we made a tactical adjustment. It just so happened that they, when they were on top in that period of dominance, they capitalised with the goal. Dembele's goal was the only thing that separated the two teams last week. And then when we worked our way back into the game and we had periods of dominance, we didn't capitalise. They have an elite, world-class goalkeeper, Donnarumma, it must be said. He was man of the match across the two ties, much like Declan Rice in the previous tie against Real Madrid. He was the difference maker across both legs. I'm not sure who UEFA have officially handed that little trophy to, that award to, or for man of the match, but for me, across the two legs, Donnarumma's the man of the tie. He was just phenomenal, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. He's a man mountain. He's a monster. Even when the players come out in the tunnel and they're lining up for the anthem, like, he's just huge, and he just consumes so much of the goal. He's an intimidating, imposing figure, and he's proved the difference again tonight, just like he did in London last week. He's done it against Villa and Liverpool, and I'm sure he'll have a big performance as well in the final. And yeah, it's one of those things that I can tip my hat to that. Like, sometimes it's a matter of what can you do when you come up against someone like that. At the same time as well, when you ask the question, what can we do? Well, there were actually plenty of other things we could have done in across the season, across the transfer windows, and we didn't do it. And as well as Arsenal have performed, we've probably overperformed, to be honest, in the context of the injuries, the bad luck. We thinned out our squad for inexplicable reasons as well. We've got players running on fumes, players being overloaded with minutes and too much reliance upon them. We have very little on the bench time after time to call upon to be game changers, to be difference makers. And I think Arsenal have, you know, overperformed really to still be in second, albeit we've been fortunate the last couple of weeks that teams in and around us who have been, you know, closing the gap and closing the points gap and almost ready to overhaul us, they've stumbled as well with a couple of draws here and there. So we still quite likely will finish second in the Premier League, which in itself, you think, well, how have we managed to do that when you see how other teams across the league have crumbled under much less injuries and issues than we have. But that's of little solace to a lot of people. I understand that. So I'm not trying to say, hey, we should be thankful, we should be grateful because of this. I'm not trying to do that. I won't be that. I won't try and insult anyone's intelligence. We all have our own emotional spectrum, as I addressed earlier. So Arsenal, even with the Mourinho experiment up top, as as valiant as he's been. He's a very technically gifted player, and he provides us an outlet, an outball, which I'll come to. That was evident from the outset tonight that our shape was different with Partey back in midfield, Rice further forward, Marino up top. We finally had an outball, and boy oh boy, did we take it! Like we from the opening whistle, we were going longer. We couldn't play through PSG last week. Their press, they suffocated Arsenal, and there were so many turnovers and so many nervy moments, and so often we would then pass back to Raya and they'd reset their shape and their system, and we just couldn't get out. But tonight, just the different structure to Arsenal was evident right from the start, and we were playing to our height advantage, and we were causing them problems. It's just one of those great what ifs. If Partey didn't get that needless yellow card in Madrid, and he played last week, I mean, this look again. I think I'm doing it myself now. I'm doing the pondering what ifs, and that's not really going to get us anywhere, is it? So look, I'll cut myself off from finishing that thought, because there's a lot of what ifs, and I'm sorry that this podcast is a little bit all over the shop, and this recording is, because it's just, I guess, me trying to process in a therapeutic self-therapeutic way as well, for me to process my own thoughts and on what's just happened, because Arsenal, absolutely, we gave it our all. I was worried before the match. I was worried that we were going to get blown away early. Their crowd, their atmosphere. I was watching that pre-match and my nerves were dialing up like that. They put on a show. They put on a show. That was sensational. Everything from the fireworks, the DJ, Daft Punk was blasting, the TIFO, the stands, the colours. Now, that's how you do it. There should be a few people at Arsenal taking notes of that. Like, we didn't replicate anything like that in London. Sure, the atmosphere and the noise was, but they certainly dialed it up a few notches, and I was worried that from the get-go, that they were just going to be on it. It was anything but. It was actually the opposite. It was the reverse. It was similar to what PSG did to us last week. We did it to them. They could barely have they barely had any moments of possession. They couldn't string passes. They didn't have 20, 30 seconds on the ball and get the ball at their feet and knock it around. We were right on them, and we should have scored. We should have scored very early on. There was that Rice header, and he'd be kicking himself. He would absolutely be kicking himself. He would not be in that position last week. Declan Rice is the six, does not have that freedom or license. He wouldn't have been in that position last week, but because we had our proper shape, our proper structure, he could move forward. And he really should have done better with that header. At least test Donnarumma, right? It's hard enough to beat him anyway, right? But let's test him. Let's get it on target. And Declan should have scored. The chances piled up then, though. They stacked on. We had a clear tactic. The long throws. It's interesting. I do not recall the last time I've seen such a concerted effort with long throws for Arsenal. I've seen them against us, and we saw it last weekend against Bournemouth. And we've seen it over the last decade with Stoke and Rory Delap and whatnot. However, I cannot recall Arsenal doing it. This was tactical. We had a plan. We had tactics in place between the long ball over the top, the long throw-ins, and Arsenal, we have to say, we executed our game plan. We were right on top of them. We had them on toast. We had our hand on their throat, but the problem was we didn't capitalize. We didn't finish it off, much like PSG had a goal to crown off their period of dominance last week. We couldn't, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Please understand this, right? As we're all compartmentalizing and processing our thoughts, Arsenal did not go down swinging. We threw the kitchen sink at them. It was not for lack of trying. The effort was most certainly there. That save from Odegaard. First of all, there was the long throw that produced the chance for Martinelli charging in. And look, this has just hit straight at Donnarumma, right? From close point-blank range, either side of him, and that's a goal. But it's more of a strike straight at him from Martinelli than it was a genuine save. But you know what? I'm not going to take anything away. His reflexes, he still saved it and he still kept it out. The one from Odegaard a minute or two later, that is ridiculous. They've shown that on the coverage so many times. Like, it was utterly, utterly ridiculous. fingertips save, and Odegaard struck that with such venom, a strike that I've barely seen him do or hardly seen him do this season. It's been a trademark of his the last few seasons. This season, not so much, but he absolutely hammered that. And what can you do? Like, just an unbelievable save. And I reckon Donnarumma stayed down for a few minutes because he knew. I mean, this is tactical as well, right? He knew how much Arsenal were on top, how much Arsenal, we had them on toast. He needed a breather himself with how busy he'd been in the opening 6, 7, 8 minutes. The reason he feigned injury to a shoulder or whatever and requested treatment was to take some sting out of the game, to slow it down, to stifle our momentum. And you know what? Good on him. It's part of the dark arts, right? Good on him. And it was effective. It worked because it did sting our momentum. And unfortunately, we didn't have the goal to show for our efforts. We were playing really well otherwise. What was really noticeable for me is how many mistakes PSG made, how many times they would just boot the ball away and they'd just turn it over. They'd spill it over to us when we were in our final third and they intercepted or got in a tackle and they just booted it straight back to us. And I was thinking, like, we've got them here. We've got them. They would spill over possession. It was so similar to last week, like just the reverse of it, but we just couldn't find a way through. We couldn't get that goal. Had we had that goal, it just changes everything. I know I'm being so simplistic here. I'm stating the damn obvious. Goals change everything. Arteta himself talks so much about how the games can be won and lost in the boxes. We were dominant everywhere else. On the rare times they came forward, we kept our shape, we came back, we nicked the ball away. Saliba was fantastic. And we worked our way back forward. Now, the couple of nervy moments just on that, you know, Saliba with an underhit pass and they charged forward and they'd be ruined a couple of half missed chances as well, right? Raya made some excellent saves. I think his best save was when it was already 1-0 and he kept us in it. It will be hard for David Raya because whilst I do believe he's amongst an elite tier of goalkeepers, well, certainly in the Premier League, I mean, it's fair to say globally or across the continent, right, when you look at the standout goalkeepers, you know, Courtois, Donnarumma, they quite rightly are in an elite category of their own. David Raya would have been watching the match and seeing Donnarumma make save after save, and he'd be thinking, well, you know, I want to make my contribution count too. I want to do my bit for the team. And he did last week in London. He kept out, I believe he kept out Doué, it was, who took that strike, and he's done it again today. Saved a penalty, look, which I'll come to as well. So credit to David Raya. He was doing his part as well. We were distributing well, coming out. The goal itself that we conceded, it was such a sucker punch. Yes, fabulous strike when Fabian struck it, and it was, I just thought, what can you do, right? It's a moment of magic, just like we have had moments of magic across the season. Certainly Declan Rice showed two moments of magic with his free kick against Madrid. Declan unfortunately slipped, gave away a bit of a needless foul. We still should do better, though, clearing it. I mean, Partey's won the header. He's knocked the header back. He's just knocked it back too centrally. I would have liked him just to knock it back towards the side or a bit more towards the corner. And but so often, even that sort of header, it happens so many times a game, right? A defensive header, knocked down, it goes to your own play and we can clear it from there. But this time it just went to Fabian Ruiz. He struck it on his left foot. I think it's his first goal in 46 appearances, for his first Champions League goal. I mean, what the hell can you do, right? What can you do? Oh, and by the way, it's taken a deflection off Saliba. It's taken a deflection. So the margins are so damn tight. The margins are so fine. The levels are just so damn fine that for all PSG's, you know, dominance and how good they are and you know, I can't question them advancing to the final because on merit, they probably do deserve it. The goal last week was a shinned effort from Dembele, right? And it can go anywhere, but it goes into the goal. Today, a strike, an excellent strike, yes, technically very well executed. Takes a deflection off Saliba, though, and it goes in. Again, it can go anywhere. It can go for a corner or it can be blocked back into play. It just, what can you do sometimes? This is the unpredictable nature of football, the madness of football. saw it again firsthand against with the Inter Milan and Barcelona tie. Like, you just never know what's going to happen. It's just, football is mad sometimes. It can be unscripted, unpredictable, and we just had to stay in it. And sadly, that goal that really knocked the stuffing out of us. It just knocked full momentum. You know, credit to the players. They dusted themselves off and they kept going, and we tried to nick one, tried to level it before half time, and you can see Declan Rice trying to galvanize everyone, come on, you know, as we're digging the ball out from the back of the net, and they were celebrating. You could see him gesturing, trying to mobilize the players, and I just felt that we needed the first goal, and we needed it in that period of dominance, and we didn't get it, and just sadly from there our chances really started to dwindle. So it went into halftime, 1-0 down, 2-0 down on aggregate. And I was thinking to myself, and by this point, it was my oldest son was awake. It was like 5:45 a.m. this morning. And he saw the scoreline and he saw the look on my face. And I just had a chat to him, and I said similar, look, you know, football, anything can happen, right? But I said to him, I've got to be realistic. It's 3/4 of the tie done. We haven't scored a goal. And all of a sudden, we need to score twice just to extend it further. And the realist inside of me knew it wasn't going to happen. And look, we certainly tried again, right? We came right back out, and we damn well tried. The play, as I said, I'll keep saying this repeatedly, that the effort was certainly there. The players believed, they threw everything. They knew that this was the season on the line. Everything, all the disappointment, all the what ifs of Arsenal season, all came down to these 45 minutes. It was such a damn shame, though, that goal that we gave away, that goal that we conceded. My goodness, where to even start from this? It was actually too. Look, I don't want to dwell on this too much because I can already feel my emotions rising. I've already burst into tears once, right? I've got to be honest. Just a few minutes after the final whistle, I just had that moment. Like it caught up with me too, right? And I know I'm a bit of a softy at heart, right? I'm a 44-year-old man. I get it. I'm an emotional man as well. I just had that moment where it caught up with me as well, and I just had that moment of just it just struck me that like that's it. That's the season, basically. Anyway, so this second goal, completely avoidable. There was two giveaways. I feel first, Kiwior's pass was off. However, you know, we worked our way back into a defensive shape. And Partey, I don't know what he's doing. Too often tonight, too many touches, too many times. I mean, there were a few players that are guilty of that. Lewis Skelly, he got caught on the ball too much. And I'm not going to go too hard at him, an 18-year-old young man with a remarkable season, but I think the occasion got to him as well. He probably should have been off beforehand. And Odegaard, a few times in and around the box, there was one clear standout. He should have played Bukayo in. He should have played him in, and he didn't. Odegaard, too many touches again. He had a chance to shoot. He didn't take it. And here again, Partey, he had the chance to clear it. What's he doing? Just if you're unsure, if you're uncertain what's behind you, I got no problem with the player just booting it, boot the ball away. And we punish to the maximum on our mistakes. This is the thing. Time and time again, I say this across the season, we just seem to be punished to the maximum. Whilst we cannot seem to score from our half chances, from our chance creation, PSG, that they so often against us, they just do. It was a very low percentage XG sort of registered shot, but he scores. Hakimi scores, and that's the tie. Like that was that. And minutes later, I won't spend too much time talking about this because this, to me, it's just not a penalty. How can you give that a penalty? No one even appealed. It happened live, and just no one appealed. Everyone just played on. I don't even think PSG, you know, even realized. And just, you know, is that an unnatural position? I don't know. When you freeze frame it, like what can defenders do sometimes? Is it really a handball or is it a ball to hand? I just don't feel that's the kind of thing that warrants a penalty in a Champions League semi-final. But look, Raya, thankfully, he saved it. As awful as the penalty was, like, make no bones about it. Like, that was a shocking penalty. Bukayo was quite rightly dug out in Madrid for his penalty. It was just wrong place, wrong time. Very, very, very weak shot. Very savable height. If we're going to say the same thing about Bukayo, then we have to apply that here today. It was a terrible penalty. Credit to Raya. I was I could only half look because in the last few months, Rise had this strange habit of diving so early and committing so early in a penalty. Thankfully, he just stood his ground and waited and watched and to see who blinked first. And it was a terrible penalty. And he saved it. And you saw the roar. You saw the passion. And everyone was like, come on. If we ever needed a moment to galvanize, a moment to change the momentum, I thought this was it. This would surely be it. And then finally, we found a way through. We made some subs. Thankfully, Mikel didn't wait until the 88th or 89th minute to make some subs. He made it earlier. I think it was 72 or 73 minutes, I believe he made it. I can't quite recall. My apologies. Kalafuri and Trossard were on. And Trossard's done well. You know, the ref could have blown a foul there. And I'm so glad he didn't. Finally, the ball bounced our way. Finally, a little bit of luck that went in our favour, and Bukayo rounded Donnarumma for once, but Donnarumma was out of the equation, and bang, goal. And look, Bukayo, he was fantastic. He had an excellent shot that Donnarumma saved, like when he curved one in, like just another ridiculous save. What can I even say? But the one I've already seen a still image of it, and it already makes me a bit sick. I saw what the post was, I think it was 0.8 XG. It made me a little bit sick when it's gone over the top. Donnarumma's flapped and missed it. Unusual for him. Maybe Bukayo was as surprised as anyone else that it's actually landed to him. Yes, it was a bouncing ball. It sort of sprung up on him and it's just come off. Was it his knee? I don't know. Or maybe his high on the leg, high shin. Instead of catching his boot into an empty net, it's bounced over and gone completely astray. And what can you do? Had we scored that, we had all the momentum, two quick rapid-fire goals, anything can happen. But you know what? Why am I? No one's going to feel better talking about what-ifs, because if we're going to talk about what-ifs, time and time again, and I guess it's all going to come out now. I've already seen it when I've had a little bit of a peek at Blue Sky and whatnot. I can see the anger and I understand it. We've all done our best to compartmentalize what we've seen in the last few months with Arsenal, knowing that we've still got a red hot chance, we're still red hot alive in a major competition, the Champions League, and we were all sort of just hoping, willing ourselves to get over the line and win that major elusive trophy. And now that it's not happened, all right, I guess everything else is going to come out, and there's going to be a lot of anger and frustration, especially about Arsenal's inactivity in the transfer windows last season. Once again, we were left short. We don't have that major firepower that Mikel's been asking for. We've been trying to do this for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. I remember the Rafinha, when we went hard for him when he was still at Leeds. I mean, Arteta basically said, I think he used almost verbatim, he used to quote, we need more firepower. And we just haven't really invested in that end of the pitch. And you have to question the strategy. You have to question, if we had finite funds last year, was it wise to spend it on Marino and Calafiori? And we spent whole summer chasing a 25 million euro release course for Joan Garcia as second goalkeeper. And you just have to question the usage of those resources. And a club of Arsenal's size and stature, and with the revenues that we're now enjoying, and our Champions League revenue will be even higher this year, mind you, we have capacity to spend. And you have to question. I don't necessarily question if we should have signed Marino or if we should have signed Calafiori. I'm not that binary, because I can see the logic and I see why we've bolstered our squad with them. What I'm saying is it's either them or a forward. It should be all of it. We have the capacity and we should be doing all of it. We should have added to our forward line. Instead, we weakened. We exited 4 attacking players last summer. And we significantly weakened our lineup as a result. Odegaard shouldn't be playing the volume of minutes he is, but we've almost made him a single point of failure. And the cascade effect on the overall lines and other players, we've broken players. We broke Saka, broke Havertz. Jesus came into a rich vein of form and then unfortunately did an ACL. I mean, it's just horrible luck, yes. Also, poor planning. We've just left ourselves so much to do with such little to call upon. And a nagging feeling I had since way back when I watched the Aston Villa match, when they hauled us back 2-0, when we should have one of those many games this season where we've dropped points in the league from winning positions. I looked at their bench and I looked at the attacking talent they've got, and I'm thinking, and I look at our bench and I'm thinking, how is this possible? even when you account for all the injuries, all the absences, yes, it makes a major difference. So I'm not pretending that it's not. Just in this match alone, right, can you imagine if we had Havertz, Jesus, Gabriel, I'm sure there's many others, Tomiyasu, right? Jorginho was named on the bench, I know, but he's largely been absent. So I'm not pretending that we're still not significantly hamstrung by injuries. I'm not. What I'm saying is that even when we are, when we do have our, you know, closer to a fuller squad available, still time and again, there's just been nagging feeling each and every time I look at the benches of the opposition, and I'm thinking they have got options because they've invested. How is it that we come across as good as we are as a team, as good as we are, and quite rightly, as good as we are defensively in midfield, right? How is it time and time and time and time again we are coming across teams with better forward lines than us, right? It just shouldn't be happening. I mean, even in the first leg, right? PSG bring on Ramos and Barcola. I think combined, that's about 100 million euros of talent. Our first sub was a fullback, Ben White, on 82 minutes. I mean, how is this happening? This can only get you so far, right? And as I said, if anything, Arsenal have overachieved. That's not going to be of comfort to anyone. And I'm not pretending it should be. However, these things catch up with you. As good as the Mourinho, you know, as good as he's done, as valiant as he's done, and hats off to him, right? But it's not enough. You can't rely, but you're not going to win a Champions League with this. You're just not. The levels and the quality are so damn high that you're just not. You're kidding yourself. You can only get so far before it catches up with you. And it's caught up with us. It caught up with us in a Champions League semi-final in the best four, amongst the best four teams remaining in Europe. We got there on merit. However, we're not going to advance further if we don't do something about this. We had the chance. We had glorious chances in this match. And take nothing away from Donnarumma. And take nothing away from how well we played. And we threw everything at them. And I'm so proud of the players. But once again, we've come up short. And we can't keep doing this time after time, year after year, and not learn from these mistakes, because this squad is primed. The hunger is there. Look at the age. Look at the average age of this squad. They are primed, ready to win. They're ready to win now. And I'm sure they're gutted. Mikel said as much. He said there was tears in the dressing room. And there were tears at home here in Melbourne as well, right, with me. So it's a gutting night for the club. Are we going to learn from this and do something about this? I sure as hell hope so. Because we are so damn close. We are so damn close to actually capping off this period of Arsenal with major trophies. And I tell you what, there's a number of teams that are lining up to laugh at us because we're becoming a bit of a, you know, a bit of a nearly men again, right? Like that I'm sure we're going to get memed up again. How many semi-finals will we come up short on? Second in the league. I mean, the opposition fans chant it, and they're going to be chanting it again in the remaining few matches and next season, right? Until we climb that final hurdle, until we get to the top of the mountain, and we're just so damn close. Yet you see a match like this, you see that elite level finishing that we don't quite have. Yes, we were kept out by an elite level goalkeeper, but you know what? That's what you need to do. You need to overcome them. You can't get to this stage of the competition and think that it's just going to be easy and that the goalkeeper is just going to let the goals in. You have to assume that you're going to be coming up against a world-class goalkeeper making worldy saves every week. You have to find a way to unpick the lock. You just have to. And it's just a really emotional, difficult night to process. I'm really proud of the players. We threw everything at them. We've come up short, and there's going to be a lot of soul searching. There's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of anger and frustration, understandably so. It's just going to be a difficult time. However, I'll finish by saying this. We are good. We are damn good. Are we great yet? Are we great enough to cap this off with major trophies? Not yet. And do I believe we will be if we make some wise, significant choices in the window this summer? Yes, I do. Does that comfort you right now? If not, I totally understand. It's of cold comfort to many. I still believe in the players. I still believe in the squad. What could have been tonight, it's going to hurt. Trust me, if it hurts us, if it hurts me as fans, times it by 1,000. That's the hurt and the pain they're feeling. And we need to revel in that, process it, utilize that, and take us forward. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry, this is a bit emotional and a bit all over the shop. I hope it helped you as it's helped me just process right now. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back on again soon. Best wishes to you all. Look after yourselves. Look after your mental health. Take care of each other. Look after your loved ones. And come on, Arsenal.